This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome to an alumni weekend edition of Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. On today's show, we're going to focus on two first place showdowns in the Ivy League between Princeton and Harvard. From the football team, we will have senior safety Dorian Williams and senior quarterback Chad Knopf to look at both the offensive and defensive sides of this showdown between two 2-0 Ivy teams. We also have from the field hockey team Kat Caro, as Princeton and Harvard, the only two teams in the Ivy League in field hockey who are undefeated, as they'll showdown at noon on Saturday on the Ivy League Digital Network. Before we get to the rest of the podcast, a reminder, you can now subscribe to TigerCast through iTunes or any other podcast app by searching Princeton Tigers. Become a subscriber and you'll get every week's edition of TigerCast, as well as any other podcast on GoPrincetonTigers.com, which includes, you know, the Hoops Hour with Mitch Henderson. Mitch Henderson, by the way, his men's basketball team picked first in the preseason poll this year. So we'll start getting to winter previews soon. Amazingly, winter teams are in competition starting this weekend. Women's ice hockey heads to Providence for a pair. So good luck to them. We'll certainly be talking about them in the future. But we're going to focus this weekend on the fall. We'll get to the two specific Harvard-Princeton showdowns that are on today's show. Prior to those interviews, a quick look at what else is going on. A big match Friday night in Dillon Gym for the Princeton women's volleyball team. Tigers 7-0 in the league, the only team in the Ivy League undefeated through half the season. They have a two-match lead on anybody else in the league. Yale and Columbia are both 5-2. But they were in the opposite position last year. I think they were 3 down at the midway point, made it all the way back to clinch a share of the Ivy title. So, you know, they understand that there's still a long way to go. Penn's the only team that's taken a set off Princeton. They took two in the opening match at the Palestra before Princeton won that in five. So a big match for the Tigers at 7 p.m. Friday on the Ivy Digital Network. Saturday, soccer plays a pair of games on the Digital Network. Women's soccer at 1 o'clock against Harvard. Men's soccer at 4 o'clock against Harvard. You know, both teams certainly have gotten off to a rough start in league play, both teams having two losses over the last two weekends. You know, in all likelihood, probably knocking them out of the Ivy championship race. But certainly, especially for the women who have had some pretty big wins early in the season at that great 9-1 start, you know, they can still be right in the thick of things for an NCAA tournament bid, an at-large bid. So, you know, it's with as good a league as the Ivy League is, you know, oftentimes two, three teams will get there. Now, they're going to have to finish strong, and that certainly would start this weekend. So, again, women at 1, men at 4. You can watch both on the Ivy Digital Network. And as I mentioned, the women's ice hockey team heads to Providence. Amazing, the fall teams are getting their season started. Okay, let's get to the two big showdowns of the weekend. We're going to do the split the football interviews first and third. We'll have Kat Caro and the field hockey in the middle. So let's start with Dorian Williams and focus on the Princeton defense against the Harvard offense. And, you know, talking to Bob Cerace this week, he compared what Harvard did to what Lehigh's offense is like in terms of just the individual standouts, you know, in terms of wide receivers, running back. Harvard has Anthony Firkser, the H-back, and Harvard has used that H-back position so incredibly well over the last, you know, 5 years in particular. You know, just a real individual talent, and guys that if you can't keep them in front of you, if you forget your responsibilities, you're not detail-oriented, you know, a simple 5 or 6 yard play turns into a 70-yard touchdown, and against Harvard, you know, those are the kinds of plays that really kill you. Now, Princeton is 4-1, 2-0 in the league. Harvard is 4-1, 2-0 in the league. Both have lost only one non-league game on the road. Harvard lost last weekend at Holy Cross. Were without a number of their best offensive players. I would expect most, if not all of them, to play this weekend. So you should be getting the best out of both teams. Harvard, Joe Viviano, the quarterback, did not play last weekend. I would expect to see him this weekend. He's been very good this year. Running back, Samar Smith, certainly ranks with any of the running backs in the league right now in terms of just pure talent and the ability to kind of break the long play. And then you have, you know, Firkser and Justice Shelton Mosley, who is more of the big play threat, maybe one of the best big play threats in the entire league this year. And so it certainly makes it a challenge for Princeton, but this is a defense that has been so much more on point over the last 3 weeks. Now, certainly granted, you know, since Lehigh, they have not played an offense that remotely comes close to what Lehigh could do, and probably, you know, not what Harvard can do either. But they've been very efficient getting off the field, tough on third downs, very strong defensive line, defensive backfield. Since those problems at Lehigh, really hasn't had many issues outside of, you know, maybe a play early against Columbia. So I think that you're getting, you know, strength versus strength here. And I think it'll have a lot to say, certainly about the impact of this game. If Princeton can limit Harvard's ability to strike that big play, force them to drive 9 plays, 10 plays, 11 plays. These are things that teams just have not been able to do against Princeton over the last 3 weeks. If Harvard can do it, so be it. But you have to make them do those drives, pull off, you know, third down after third down, as opposed to, you know, getting hit on a big play because, you know, you weren't in the right coverage or one person was in the wrong spot. You know, if Harvard beats you on a 12-play drive, so be it. But you have to be able to keep everybody in front of you and then tackle. Firkser and Smith in particular, those are two guys that, you know, they're going to get their yardage. You're not going to stop them completely. But if Firkser catches one for 10 yards, 12 yards, you have to make sure that's where it stops. You know, you miss a couple tackles and he's gone. And the same with Smith. You know, Smith is a little similar to what we've seen from Charlie Volker. If you can get him down at the line, 2-3 yard gain, you know, you'll live with that. It's when he makes that first guy miss, that's when you're really trying to, that's when you're really in trouble. So, good matchup. We'll talk about the Princeton offense against the Harvard defense in our third interview, but it's a 1 p.m. start. You can watch it on the Ivy Digital Network and on ESPN3. And let's hear now from Dorian Williams. Dorian, it feels like that Lehigh game was so long ago, but, you know, it does seem like the defense has made a big jump since that game. Have you felt it, and what's changed over the last three?
I think definitely that Lehigh game humbled us. It was something that we went back into film. We definitely corrected a lot of things that we may have thought we were doing great after having the win against Lafayette. So I think that Lehigh loss definitely humbled us, and it allowed us for us to realize that we're not as great as we think we are. So each week we go into the week with just a different mentality that we didn't have, I don't think, the first 2 weeks. And like you said, we definitely have made huge strides. And I think our goal is just to keep going in and building off that, fixing what we need to fix, and then continuing to be the defense that we know we can be.
The word you've used so many times is communication. You know, it's there's a lot of seniors, so you guys have played a lot together, but also some new starters, especially in your area, the defensive backfield. Have you seen a noticeable jump? And because it doesn't seem like, you know, if somebody's going to drive, you know, they haven't gotten those big plays that they were getting last year.
Yeah, I think that definitely is a big part on communication. Just one thing that we always stress is if one person's playing one defense and everybody's playing another, you know, it's hard to complete the task that you want. But if everybody's playing the same defense and you communicate on what you need to do, the big plays are eliminated. Also with communication, if you're in your right spot and you're doing what you need to do, the trick plays are usually what gets you on the big plays. And that's kind of what we're focusing on, stopping those. Also, like you said, we are very senior, so I think the older guys are taking more of a leadership role, and they're kind of helping anybody that comes in that may not be senior or may not be seasoned in their position. So I do think communication is kind of our biggest thing that we've been focusing on, and I think it's led us to the success that we've had thus far.
Obviously, this week you're going to see a different level of skill player that you've seen over the last few weeks, you know, probably going back to Lehigh. When you have multiple threats, you know, guys who can get the ball down the field quickly, like, you know, a Firkser and a Smith and a Justice Mosley and you know, even the quarterback, you know, I guess it makes individual responsibilities and details even more important, because you can't just kind of have your eyes spread out looking for one guy when somebody, you know, two or three others can beat you.
Right. I mean, well, we kind of dealt with that with Brown last week. I mean, they had number 82 and they had Jetty. So those are two people that, you know, you kind of had to look out for, and you knew that they can make plays when given the opportunity. So that's something we're focusing on this week. We do have certain keys that we're looking at, certain players that we're going to be keying in on. But like I said, I think communication in our defense, every defensive coach creates a defense to stop the offensive play. So, I mean, if we play our defense and keep communicating and do what we need to do, technique sound, I don't think that having any extra talent on their side is going to be something that's going to, I guess, become an obstacle for us. I think it's kind of going into the same week. Like, just because it's hard, we're not going into the week with a different mentality. We definitely have the same mentality, and we're just going to approach the week with the same intensity that we've have been the past couple weeks.
You had the opportunity to play in this. You know, you've played in all three of these, but you played in this 2013 game when it was 2-0 and 2-0, and the stakes were as high as they are today. You know, I know you're looking at the game and focused on the game, but how special is it to you as a senior to get one more of these kind of Princeton-Harvard first place on the line, and to do it at Princeton Stadium?
It's awesome. I mean, really excited. I think there's a lot of similarity between our senior class and the senior class that we were able to come in under. So I think that's something that we've actually been trying to focus on this week and kind of redoing, not redoing, but kind of trying to lead the team in the same way that they led us. It's something that we're really, really excited about. And like you said, it's just, it's a big game. We're both 2-0 in the league, and it is really exciting to know that the winner of this is going to be pretty much at the top of the league after this. So yeah, we're just looking forward to it. And like I said, I think if we stay true to our technique and our alignment and our assignment, what the coaches are preaching, I do think it's going to be a great outcome.
We'll shift off football for a minute and talk about the Princeton field hockey team. The Tigers and the Crimson are the only teams in the Ivy League with undefeated 4-0 records in league play. Princeton, you know, had that really interesting start to the season where, you know, you have a new head coach coming in and you're learning a new system. And, oh, by the way, you're playing just one nationally ranked team after another. And Princeton, you know, had its share of wins, but certainly, you know, a number of one-goal, two-goal losses early in the season that I think, and, you know, this is something we talk about in this interview, that they'll feel pretty good about playing those teams again if they can get to the NCAA tournament. Now, the path to the tournament, yeah, the easiest path to the tournament is through the Ivy League, and that's going to be, you know, certainly the big goal this weekend. The winner of this game takes full control of the league because they'll have a game up and they'll have the win over the other team, you know, should it end up being a tie. So a 12 p.m. start, Princeton against Harvard. These have been one-goal games the last 2 years, low scoring, 1-0 and 2-1. And that's something that Kat Caro would certainly like to avoid. She scored 6 goals last weekend alone, 3 against Brown, 3 against Towson, to be the GoPrincetonTigers.com athlete of the week. And, you know, she'd certainly like to see this offense kind of explode against Harvard and maybe not make it quite the thriller that a lot of people expect it to be. It's a noon start, as I mentioned, on Saturday, kind of kicking off alumni weekend. You can watch it on the Ivy Digital Network. And let's hear now from Kat Caro. So, Kat, before we get too much into this season, I kind of want to go back to the summer. You know, you're coming off 3 straight Ivy titles, you know, an NCAA playoff win last year, obviously having big aspirations for this year. And then you hear that there's going to be a coaching change. I mean, you know, there's always got to be, I assume, a little bit of nervousness kind of going into meeting a new coach and learning a new system. What was, you know, that first week of camp like? And at what point did you start feeling kind of comfortable with where the program was?
I mean, of course, like I was like very, very nervous and kind of didn't know what to expect, but like I've heard such great things about both Carla and Dina, so it kind of gave me a little bit of relief. And like luckily we still had two of our assistant coaches that stayed. So going through that first week, it was still like everything was new and changing, except, you know, they came in being very open with us. Like we were super open with them because we knew that would be like the best, that would be the best case for us, you know, it would help us in the long run, you know, quicker. Everyone would adapt really fast. So everyone was super open. And so by Rutgers, like our first scrimmage, you know, and we started to connect and see our potential, it's kind of when everyone started to take a deep breath and actually really trust in their new system and trust in each other and really benefit.
In some ways, does it make this preseason, you know, not that, you know, you ever went through the motions. I mean, when you win the titles and you know, or you're a top 20 team, but did you feel like an almost a higher level of, I don't know, attention to detail or focus or whatever this preseason, just because everything was so new and it wasn't like, you know, you're trying to bring freshmen along, but you're all trying to figure it out at the same time?
Of course, that's definitely how we all felt. You know, we all wanted to be really intentional with how we trained and what we did because it was so new and it was like new for everybody. So it's really like you're starting over and coming in as a freshman with the new coaches and the new group.
I want to get to obviously Ivy season and your big weekend coming up, but you know, you've had this incredible schedule where you've played almost half of the nation's top 15 teams. And, you know, you've had your wins and you've had your, you know, close losses. I mean, you look at, you know, playing the number one team to a 2-1 game, playing Duke, you know, a couple weeks ago to 2-1 in overtime. And, you know, you'd love to have won some of those games, but do you kind of have the feeling like, all right, we've played with the best in the country and, you know, maybe a ball bounce, you know, hasn't gone our way or we, you know, missed something, but we've got the talent to play with everybody.
Definitely. I mean, our coaches tell us every day, like, you can play and run with anyone. You need to believe it. And I think having all these results that really could have been in our favor at the end of the day, like, we've actually started to believe it. And you can see how we're playing now when we go into either like an Ivy game or a non-conference game. We're really, you know, playing our best and not questioning any of our ability.
I'm sure getting the wins ultimately is the, you know, top satisfaction last weekend. But what's a weekend like that for you when you have three goals against Brown, you come back against Towson, you score three goals? I mean, they, you know, the expression in basketball is like, you know, the basket looks as wide as the ocean. Did you feel like it got to the point where any shot you were going to take, you were confident was going to go in?
I don't know about that. I would love to say yes, except I think I just had a lot of opportunities, you know, to shoot. And, you know, now that, like, the season, I guess, is coming to, like, when it all really matters, I'm happy that it kind of aligned up. And I just started scoring, and I really couldn't have done it without my team. You know, I think we're really starting to connect, and I think that comes from just everyone's finally on board with everything. Everyone believes in each other, and that just comes from playing and like that on-field chemistry. And I think it all just clicked this weekend, especially for me. So I really couldn't have done it without my teammates.
Are you feeling though that is kind of you're seeing kind of maybe a steeper upward trajectory because now that you're getting comfortable not only in the system but kind of with each other that this offense could make a real jump here over the next few weeks?
I really think so. And one of our like best attackers, Sophia, came back this weekend and she finally can play like full. She's not like kind of limited just from her injury. So now we really are firing on all cylinders and everyone's really, really clicking together.
So you get Harvard this weekend. Harvard's the, you know, only other unbeaten team in the league. Last year, it's a 2-1 game in Boston. So you know you're going to get the best. I mean, you were going to get the best from Harvard anyway, but this year, mm-hmm. top 20 and you know, with, you know, real championship aspirations. So, you know, first of all, just kind of from film that you've seen, you know, how impressed have you been with just kind of the way they've played recently?
I think they're talented and they really can monopolize on most opportunities that they're given. So, I mean, we can't underestimate them at all. I mean, they're right behind us in RPI. So obviously that speaks to, you know, their talent this year. And I mean, the past couple of years, they've always given us a good game and it's always that Princeton Harvard rivalry, just like in regards, like not even to field hockey, but just like at school, there's always something there between Princeton and Harvard. And especially since we're two of the top field hockey programs in the league, that just adds to it. So there's always this kind of tension and rivalry that we both want to end up on top of.
How special is a game like this for you? As a senior, you know, it's alumni weekend, so you'll have a lot of people back. And look, you play big games at Bedford Field regardless, just because of the way your schedule is. You bring in these top teams. But when you're bringing in a nationally ranked team, and oh, by the way, it happens to be another Ivy team, and it's Harvard, and it's, you know, it's going to put somebody in the driver's seat in this title race. Like, this is kind of the game. It has to be kind of the game that you live for.
Oh, it's perfect timing. I mean, we're, like, we say every day, like, we want to have a legacy and we want to leave our Princeton career, like, leaving a legacy. And we're playing this Harvard game for our teammates, like, that are playing with us, and also, like, the teammates that played before us, that we played with, that have graduated. So it really is just a culmination of, like, greatness on Saturday.
We'll finish up here by talking to Chad Kanoff, the senior quarterback for the football team. And this offense certainly has had its, moments of being really impressive. Certainly the seven straight touchdown drives against Columbia 3 weeks ago. And then moments where maybe they feel like they've left points on the board. But I think overall they've been very efficient, very strong on third downs, moved the ball well, controlled the clock, you know, run the ball pretty efficiently. I think they'd love to see a few more big plays in the run game. You know, they've done a good job of you know, getting the 3, 4, 5 yard gains that, you know, keep putting them in position for third and two, third and three, and they've been very good at that. But, you know, breaking one for 20 or 30 yards every now and then certainly would aid the offense. But, you know, overall, it's been efficient. You know, Chad Kanoff has done a good job spreading the passing game around. You know, we've seen years, you know, Roman Wilson in 2013, Trey Peacock in 2010, you know, Brendan Circle, when we talk about, you know, honoring the 2006 team at halftime this weekend, you know, guys who have had those big seasons in terms of catches and yards. That's not going to happen for Princeton this year unless somebody kind of breaks out over these final 5 weeks. Instead, who's open? Back, tight end, receiver, other quarterbacks. You know, take what the defense gives you, get some yards, go to the next play, move down the field. And you're seeing that in time of possession. You're seeing that in third down efficiency. They're making the plays that the defense is giving them. They're not forcing anything. You're not seeing those, you know, the three interceptions against Lehigh. That was a killer. And they've done, you know, Chad Kanoff in particular has done a really good job of getting away from that, trying to force things, taking what the defense gives, and just kind of executing the offense the way James Perry and Bob Surace want it to be executed. It'll certainly be imperative this weekend against a very strong Harvard defense, always a tough Crimson front. So, you know, blocking will be very important. Certainly, it's important every game. I think the offensive line certainly had its struggles last week against Brown. Kanoff and Lovett did a terrific job overcoming that, throwing kind of right before they took a hit. Maybe tougher to do that this weekend against Harvard. So I think we're going to need to see a little bit stronger play up front. And it's going to have to be efficient. You know, it's tough to get the big plays on Harvard. Maybe you can strike one or two. But again, somewhat similar to what we talked about, Princeton defense versus the Harvard offense. The Harvard defense is going to make you drive 12 plays. And if you do so, so be it. But they're going to try to keep you in front of them. They're going to pressure your quarterback, and they're going to trust that you're going to make a mistake. And Chad Kanoff and John Lovett, especially over these last 3 weeks, have done a good job negating those mistakes. Certainly, that's even more important this weekend. I'll say it one more time. It's a 1 p.m. start. You can watch it on the Ivy Digital Network. You can watch it on ESPN3. Harvard is 2-0, first place in the Ivy League. Princeton is 2-0, first place in the Ivy League. Can't ask for a whole lot more than that. Let's hear now from the tri-captain and the starting quarterback for the Princeton Tigers, Chad Kanoff. Chad, obviously plenty to talk about for this weekend, but, you know, let's go back over this last month and kind of the development of this offense, because you've scored pretty consistently all season, but it seems like it's just been a little more efficient over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Have you felt either a greater comfort with this offense, or what's changed over the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've continued to get better each week. I mean, that's obviously a goal of any team, and we try to get better each practice. Coach Perry harps on that all the time. And I think we've actually done a really good job of getting better each day.
You know, the quarterback-receiver relationship is so talked about in football, and you know, having that big number one receiver. And you know, this offense has gone completely the other way, where, you know, whether it's you or John, it's you're finding the open receiver. You know, you go back to a Georgetown game where 14 different players caught passes. I know you were one of them. But is that kind of the way that you're comfortable running this offense, that, you know, you don't need that number one option? You can have the faith that whoever's out there is going to run the right route and get open?
Yeah, I mean, so that's obviously personnel, so it's not up to me. That's up to higher powers, and I think they do a really good job of getting good players on the field, and we have a lot of good players, so a lot of different guys are getting on the field making good plays.
Do you have to know each receiver's individual strengths and how they run routes and kind of know where they're going to be, or do you kind of have a sense of this is where the pattern's going to be and I'm just going to trust whoever's out there to be in the right spot?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it would come more in man coverage when you have to know matchups and you got to know which guy you think is going to win the most. But we have so many good players that I think they all do a pretty good job of man coverage and zone coverage. I'm obviously just looking at the defense, and the people running the routes all are getting to the right spots, so I know where they are.
The offensive line was you know, something that obviously got some attention in the preseason because of all the seniors that you lost. And, you know, you've had some injuries that you've dealt with up front, but it seems like, you know, the guys that have been in there have held up pretty well. I mean, how impressed have you been with those five in front?
Yeah, I mean, they've been amazing. It seems like any time anybody's concerned, another guy steps up. I mean, they've really embodied the next man up mentality, and I think it's showing each week.
Finishing last year was obviously an issue, and, you know, a number of games that came down to the end. And, you know, you haven't had necessarily the close game over the last 3 weeks, but just finishing drives, red zone efficiency has really been there this year. Was that really one of the key aspects that you focused on in the offseason and the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about finishing all the time. So, I mean, I think that applies to everything that you do. That's in the weight room, in film room, making sure you're working really hard, and then we're seeing the fruits of our labor on the football field now.
You know, this weekend you'll get a physical and aggressive Harvard defense. You know, is it kind of, you know, it's one thing that Coach Cerace has always said is you pretty much know what you're getting from Harvard. It's not like they change schemes a whole lot on a year-to-year basis. They take their talent, they put them in position, and they force you to beat them. Is that, you know, what you're seeing out of film this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great description. Why you can't fix what ain't broke. They've been really good for a while, so they're not going to change anything.
When you know kind of what you're getting, does it become even more important to just kind of, instead of focusing on them, focusing on what you do right, being in the right spots and just, you know, trusting that, like you said, you're going to win individual battles?
Right. I mean, we need to really execute this week. Obviously, we need to play. First, when you play a good team, you all need to play your best game. So we're focused on that.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.